Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Learning. IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from beautiful Brooklyn, New York, it's NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Hello, Jonathan.
Hi,
hey,
Ophira.
Hey, do you notice anything different about me?
Ophira, wait a
minute. Yes.
You're wearing glasses. Why did you just put glasses on? You don't wear glasses.
I'm wearing glasses because it turns out, remember when we were kids and our parents might say to us something like, don't sit so close to the TV because you'll ruin your eyes?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so I've been sitting pretty close to the TV, quote unquote, for quite a long time now.
Now that you require glasses, here's the exciting thing.
Uh-oh.
You have a whole new like fashion accessory.
This
it took me
true.
A long time to realize that you could do this with glasses, but my strategy when shopping for frames is that I've discovered that if I look at frames on the shelf and I'm like, oh God, those are too gaudy. Those are too...
Yeah.
The guy who wears that pair of frames is an unlikable, overly stylish, show-offy, real piece of work kind of guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when I see those frames, I'm like, okay, try them on. And then... And then when you put them on, it transforms from the guy who's a jerk to the guy who's kind of cool, got a little cool rock and roll vibe. So that's my advice
to
you.
So I need to go look at the glasses and go like, all right, which of these say that I'm a guy who's a real piece of work?
Well, not a guy necessarily. I mean, whatever you choose.
That'd be fine.
But if you see a pair of glasses that you're like, oh, if I saw a lady wearing those glasses, I would think, oh, she thinks she's so great. Those are your glasses. Put them on your face.
Okay, I definitely don't own those glasses.
You are so great, and you should represent to the world that you think so, and they will agree with you.
Yeah, I still feel like the way I look, I have no idea how I look, but I do know that people have, they'll ask me to water their plants or take care of their house while they're away or ask me for directions.
Yeah, rock and roll.
Yeah, or assume that I'm there because I organized the party.
Right. Do you work here?
So. Yeah, exactly. So I'm just going for the next level up.
Exactly.
Okay, exactly.
Well, so now that you can see properly, do you want to read who's going to be on today's show?
That's right. This week I don't have to make it up like I usually do, which drives our booker crazy because she's like, oh, great, I guess now I have to get Hillary Swank on the phone. Anyway, today's show is stacked with delightful guests. Later, the amazing Grammy-winning musician Sarah Bareilles will play a game about her favorite show, The Golden Girls. Plus, from the beloved cartoon Rugrats, we have the actors who voice Angelica Pickles and Chucky Finster, Cheryl Chase, and Nancy Cartwright. But first, we'll play games with two guys who are no strangers to competition. So let's do it. Akbar Baja Biamila and Matt Eisman host American Ninja Warrior, the show where incredibly fit people run nearly impossible obstacle courses. It's now in its 13th season on NBC. Matt, Akbar, welcome to Ask Me Another.
Thank you.
Hey,
we're so excited to play.
Yes, we're excited you are here. So, Akbar, you were a pro football player, and a few years ago, you ran the American Ninja Warrior course for charity,
thank
and it was
you.
A great run.
Thank you.
Was it as hard as you expected?
It was actually harder than I expected because, you know, first off, I didn't realize how nervous I was. Just stepping up on the stage, I had this increased tightness in the chest, and I couldn't get out. In football, I have my teammates to kind of help out with that, and they're doing all this other stuff, and you're running into each other. You've got the fans, and then there are 11 of you on the field on one side of the ball, and so if I mess up or something like that, you may not be able to see it. On Ninja Warrior, it's just you on the course. You're not paying attention to anything else, so that's a lot of pressure. Cameras and everybody watching you. But I was able to
your family.
Your family. My kids had never seen me play professional sports. So I didn't want to be the dad that let my kids. I'm like, oh, Dad, I thought you were strong. Like, you couldn't do that? You know, I wouldn't have never been able to live that down. Then I thought, I can't be up here telling people, oh, you got to keep your L's and you got to do this. And then I fall. I'm like, I'm not listening to you anymore.
Right. And just, you know, just so people, keeping the L's is when you are doing like any kind of upper arm strength, monkey bars, I'm going to say.
Right.
I mean, I'm learning. Keep your arms in an L shape to be able to sustain, because if you stretch them all the way out, you are just going to burn out your muscles.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, you just burn out a lot quicker. That's exactly right. I see you. Okay. Okay, ninja analyst.
For what it's worth, Ophira keeps her L's on every show that I've ever done with her.
I walk around like this.
Every single one of these recordings, she's always keeping her L's like this.
It's key in trivia we found, too, actually. Just having your hand ready to hit a buzzer, it's a very good position for the arms.
It's true. I'm ready to do high fives as soon as we're all back, ready to do high fives. Matt, you have a really interesting backstory as someone who was a practicing doctor and
yes.
then left to do stand-up comedy. By the way, good company. Also, Ken Jeong, who you may know.
I know very well. He hired me when he was still working at Kaiser as a cardiologist to come in and speak to his group with the condition. So we knew each other through stand-up because Ken was moonlighting as a comedian, but he's like, you can't tell anyone I do comedy. Meanwhile, cut to The Hangover when he appears and you got to see all of Ken Jeong in that one. And I thought, I think the secret's out now, Doc.
Fantastic. So yeah, let's dive into some games. So in this game, every answer is actually an American city that has hosted an American Ninja Warrior competition.
Oh boy.
Okay. Okay. All right.
So we're going to imagine what happened if there was a production hiccup and the obstacles didn't arrive on time. So they had to improvise using landmarks that already existed that city. It's going to be great.
Here we
go. All right, Matt, this first one is for you.
Okay.
Jessie Graff always nails the quintuple steps, but will she keep her eye of the tiger on the prize as she scrambles up the rocky steps? She's heading towards the buzzer. The Liberty Bell! Oh, she hit it a little too hard and it cracked! Oh, not sure if she'll be penalized for that.
Well, I know Pass and Stowe would be disappointed that that bell is cracked. And I know my guy Rocky Balboa, you know, he's a self-part. He comes, his hometown is the city of brotherly love. It's Philadelphia!
That's right.
Oh, boy.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. Exactly. And what a way to answer. I'm just going to say,
by the way, the only reason I know Pass and Stowe from the Liberty Bell was because of Nicolas Cage in National Treasure. That's where I get my trivia from, movies.
Okay.
Whatever way you get it ends up working for you.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Absolutely. All right, Akbar, here's one for you. Who needs the warped wall? Casey Catanzaro just ran all the way up the Gateway Arch on her very first try. That's 630 feet.
Wow. Well, this is interesting because I have no idea what you said, but I will say the greatest show on turf took place in this very city, I think.
Okay.
Is it St. Louis?
It is St. Louis.
All right, All right.
The famous Gateway Arch, Gateway to the West.
All right.
I like that, though. You're like, I have no idea what you said, but here's the answer. All right, Matt. The Florida humidity won't stop Daniel Gill and Jesse the Flex LeBrec from trading in the Power Tower for a 2.5-mile race around a NASCAR track with cars? Oh, no. Daniel got stuck in a crowd of MTV Spring Breakers and sustained an injury from an errant bottle of Corona.
I remember that bottle of Corona. It was thrown by a fan of, I believe it was Dale Earnhardt Jr., because it had to be Daytona.
That is totally correct. Yes, Daytona.
We got out on that track, and I nearly wet my pants because we had one of the NASCAR drivers taking us around about 6 inches from the wall at 190 miles an hour, and I thought, I'm going to stick to hosting.
So you got a ride in one of those cars. I've always wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Is it as scary as they say?
It's very, yeah, especially when they start messing around getting this close to the wall. Like, come on, dog. Like, what are you doing?
And I went with someone who was just an amateur, like, you know, doing like the, I forget what the amateur courses are called. And the inside of the car was even just concerning because it's sort of pared down.
Yes.
Right? So you're just like, yes. Where's the
stuff? Are there airbags in here? Yeah.
Where's the radio? All right, Akbar. We're in the shadow of the Alamo. And oh no, Isaac Caldiero's grip slipped and he plunged into the Riverwalk. A shocking early exit for the rock climber and former champion.
Oh boy, whenever I think of the Alamo, I think of the general who used to give my team, the Los Angeles Lakers, fits. I'm going San Antonio here.
Yeah, that is correct.
Riverwalk!
The Riverwalk.
Wait, what is it? Wasn't it the Admiral? Not the General?
Oh, the General Shaquille O'Neal, the Admiral.
Hey, well, that's the General is where he does insurance.
Yeah. That's good marketing because I think the you're right. It is the Admiral. Yes.
All right, Matt. The Phoenix, Naji Richardson's taking on our biggest course yet, 5.6 million square feet. He's already escaped Nickelodeon Universe and Rock of Ages Blacklight Mini Golf. He ran past 500 retail stores, and now he's on level 4 at Rick Bronson's House of Comedy. He'll need to keep it to a tight 5 to qualify for city finals.
Oh my, where is that?
Well, thank God you threw in that last one because I've actually performed at Rick Bronson's House of Comedy. He's got a couple. It wasn't in Arizona. It was at a place that had, I counted, 7 Orange Juliuses in it. The Mall of America in Minneapolis.
Yes,
that place, I spent a lot of time there, and boy, did I get a lot of free samples of here. They banned me from Cinnabon. They said, no more. You're taking too many samples.
I am so glad he got that one because there's no way I would have known that one. I was like, what?
All right, Akbar, this is the last one. It's for you.
Okay. Oh, boy.
It's the finals. And instead of Mount Midoriyama, we're on a tour of world landmarks. Joe, the weatherman Morovsky, piloted a gondola down a Venetian canal, salmon-laddered up the Eiffel Tower, and is making his way through every station at an all-you-can-eat buffet. Will he be the last ninja standing?
I think I know this one. I've been around the world. I've done 40 countries in my life. There's only one place that I know. It is... Las Vegas?
It is Las Vegas.
Okay.
That's
all right,
correct.
All right.
Riva Las Vegas.
We'll play more games with Matt and Akbar after the break. Plus, we'll meet two voice actors from Rugrats, including Bart Simpson herself, Nancy Cartwright. And will musician Sarah Bareilles be brave enough to take on a Golden Girls trivia challenge? Probably yes. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
This message comes from Capital One, presenting sponsor of the 2024 Tiny Desk Contest. Earlier this year, unsigned musicians from around the country submitted their original songs for the 10th annual Tiny Desk Contest. The panel of judges are hard at work picking standout entries, and you can follow along and choose your favorite videos as well. The winner gets to play their very own Tiny Desk concert, then headline a tour with NPR Music this summer. Want to come along for the ride? Visit tinydeskcontest.npr.org to learn more, then check out the Venture X card from presenting sponsor Capital One. Earn unlimited 2x miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance, where drivers who switch could save hundreds on car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. We're playing games with the hosts of American Ninja Warrior, former NFL player Akbar Baja Biamila, and comedian Matt Eisman. Are you ready for another game?
Let's do it.
Okay, great. So you host a highly athletic competition show, but this game is about competition that is far less physically taxing. We're talking video games.
Ooh. Oh, great. Oh, yeah. This is all Matt.
Akbar, no video games? Do you play any video games?
Well, I just bought my son. Nasir, what's the name of that game I bought you? Oh, Nintendo Switch. I just bought them on Nintendo Switch.
Oh, Nintendo Switch, Switch sure.
Yeah.
Nintendo Switch is great. Breath of the Wild, a really good game for that. I've been PS4 and waiting on the PS5, but really been playing some Assassin's Creed. And
Yeah. He's just trying to rattle you, Akbar. Don't worry.
Don't worry.
Okay, give me old school ones, though. I can handle Mario and Sonic.
Okay.
And Zelda.
By the way, Akbar, I love the videos of you pranking your children.
Oh, thank you so much.
Right, you have four kids, ages 9 to 19, roughly?
Yeah. 9 to 19. Two 9-year-olds and to 19, yep.
And there was one that I watched where you gave them candy apples for an eating competition, but it was not apples, it was onions.
Onions, yes. And it took a long time to have those made, too.
They looked amazing. They looked amazing. Okay, so in this game, Jonathan and I will describe a video game peripheral, and that's something you use to play a video game other than a traditional video game controller. For example, a plastic guitar for Guitar Hero.
Okay.
So you just tell us if it's real or something we made up.
All right, okay, I can handle this.
Okay, Akbar, this first one is for you. In the 2009 game DJ Hero, players use a fake plastic turntable to scratch their way to immortality. Is that real or fake?
That's real.
That is totally real.
Yeah, that's real. That's real. I remember that. Back in 2009, I just got married. Yeah, I just got married.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
Did the DJ at your wedding play that game instead of...
yeah, right. That is not a good
No.
DJ for your wedding, by the way. If they're like, I learned using DJ Hero.
Yeah. My favorite wedding DJ story, I have a friend who, when he got married, he had a DJ at his wedding. And at the beginning of the night, he walked up to the DJ and he held out $300 bills. And he said, "This is your tip. Every time you talk, I take one away."
Wow.
I like that.
If you're a brown-eyed girl, get on out there with Vanessa.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right, Matt. The 2010 Nintendo Wii game, Babysitting Mama, came with a stuffed baby that you placed the video game controller into. And players took on challenges like rocking the baby to sleep or gently patting it on the back to make it burp. Real or fake?
Oh, my God. I have the Wii, and I knew they got pretty creative with it. Mm-hmm. I don't remember it. I'm going to say fake.
I'm sorry, it was real. That was a real controller.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Yeah, stuffed baby. You put the controller in
there. It was
really
weird. I mean, I felt weird putting the controller into the baby. You're like,
it's an odd way to start. Yeah.
I could just imagine some wife telling her husband to stop playing the baby game.
You gotta put the real baby to sleep.
I'm going for a high score.
That is the classic video game problem, is ignoring your child so you can play with your simulated child video game.
Yes.
That's right.
Okay, Akbar, in the 2006 GameCube game, My Pikachu Tamer, players attempt to train an adorable electric-type Pokemon rescued from the wild. The game came with a wristband that administered a real electric shock to the player anytime Pikachu misbehaved. Is that real or fake?
Yeah, that's totally fake. 2006, I was with the then San Diego Chargers, and they didn't have that type of technology back then, nor would that be humane, so I'm going to go fake.
Yes, you're so right.
Yep.
Thank you. So you were right.
Although I imagine right now Nintendo's going, "That's a great idea."
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, like, I feel like Apple watches and what have you, sort of, they don't give you an electric shock, but they notify
they buzz,
you.
Oh, they buzz you.
I've got the Aura Ring, and periodically my phone will buzz and go, "Time to stand up and stretch those legs." My ring is calling me a lazy POS.
Yeah.
This is not why I bought this.
I don't need a machine to remind me of my shortcomings all day long. I got that covered.
That's what Twitter's for.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. There's so many ways. There's so many ways to feel insignificant.
Okay, Matt. The 2009 game Tony Hawk Ride came with a full-size skateboard controller that Virtual Shredder stood on to pull off sick moves. Real or fake?
I remember in the arcades playing 720 where you had the skateboard. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds so plausible, and yet I don't remember the board controller. I was wrong last time, though. I'm going to say no. No, it's fake.
No, it's actually real. It's actually real. And the reason you don't remember it is because the game was critically panned and many people called it the worst game of the year.
It reminded me of the Power Glove Nintendo had. I got that, and it was in the movie The Wizard of Fred Savage, and I got it, and it was impossible. You had to put these controllers around the TV, and you're sitting there moving your wrist flat. Fins, nothing happened. Yep. And after 30 minutes, I realized, okay, I'm just going to wear this to parties and try to pretend I'm bionic. But other than that, granted, I was in college at this point, so it probably wasn't.
Yeah, so it was cool. It was cool then to be bionic.
Sure. Yeah. All right, Akbar, the 1999 PlayStation fighting game Wu-Tang Shaolin Style came with a giant controller shaped like the Wu-Tang Clan's iconic W symbol. And one magazine noted that the players needed, quote, the gargantuan hands of a mutant to comfortably use it. Real or fake?
This is in 1999. I too was in college back in 1999.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So out of the 100 guys on the football team that I played with, I would have seen that. I don't remember this game, but I'm gonna say this was fake because my sample size of 100 teammates, I never saw any of these in any of the dorm rooms or apartments. So it's fake.
Well, maybe they just made good decisions with their purchases, because it was real.
Really?
But it was impossible.
I'm going on eBay, and I'm getting that now.
Yeah, put it on the wall right next to your precious power glove.
Look at these controllers.
I don't let everybody into this room, but come on, take a look.
This is my controller room.
I do have all of my consoles going back to Pong.
Wow.
17
really?
Consoles I have now up in my attic. I can't get rid of them.
Hold on. What is a Pong?
Thank you, Akbar.
Was that before Atari?
It was before Atari.
The very first home thing.
You were alive then?
I was alive then, Akbar. I remember back when video games were played on the radio.
Is that true? Is that true or false?
All right. Last question for you, Matt. In the mid-2000s series Donkey Konga, players used two bongo drums to play along to songs like Losing My Religion and Whip It. Real or fake?
Now this, I worked on a home makeover show where we sold things at yard sales, and I remember the bongo drums. So I'm going to say, like Matthew McConaughey, all right, I think that's real.
You're absolutely correct, it is real.
Yeah, that game should just be called Becoming Matthew McConaughey. That's like, that would be perfect.
Like, when he won his Oscar, nobody really brought up that whole naked bongo playing thing, and I think that should be celebrated.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a good phase. Who didn't enjoy that phase? All right, great second game. Not that we're keeping track, but Akbar did win that one.
Oh.
I cannot believe it. Okay, I need to give an acceptance speech because this will be the only time that I think I'll ever beat Matt in trivia. I just want to thank my family. I want to thank my all my fans. Thank you so much for helping me with this. This is amazing.
I feel like Ivan Drago after losing to Rocky. I'm disgraced. I'm disgraced. I'm going to be banished to Siberia.
Oh my goodness, so much fun. Thank you. Akbar Baja Biamila and Matt Iceman host American Ninja Warrior now in its 13th season on NBC. Matt, Akbar, thank you so much for joining us.
Ophira, Jonathan, thank you. So
thank you, guys so much. I got to say, this is the best ever. Best ever.
Okay,
I promise.
Okay, easy, Akbar.
All right.
Our next guests voice characters on the Paramount Plus reboot of Rugrats. Cheryl Chase plays the mean 3-year-old Angelica Pickles, and Nancy Cartwright plays the nervous 2-year-old Chucky Finster. You also know Nancy as the voice of Bart Simpson. Cheryl, Nancy, welcome to Ask Me Another.
Thank you, Ophira. Thank you, Jonathan.
Pleasure to be here.
Cheryl, I know that one of your early voice gigs was the voice of the baby in the 1987 Diane Keaton movie, Baby Boom.
Yeah, I mean, when my agent set me up for that, I was doing the baby voice, and there were 600 women also doing the same thing. You know, and it's like, How am I ever going to get a part like that? But I did. They picked me out of 600 baby women.
I just have to say, what a weird day that must have been for the casting people. You know?
Right. They're like, that baby sounds a little constipated.
Yeah, okay, I do that not baby like that sad. Baby at all.
You know, I had the luxury of being cast in a loop group. And this is like the creme de la creme show. I don't know if you ever did any looping.
Yes, I was in a loop group.
It was amazing.
What is a loop group?
Say, and when I'm dating myself, but when Harry Met Sally, say the two lead actors are in a restaurant together and they're surrounded by extras around them that don't actually, they're getting paid to be extras. So actors in post-production are called in to do this atmosphere. And so there's a microphone that's in the center of the room, or sometimes they have it hanging, or else they have two mics on stands. And if they're just doing a general sound, they'll have the actors either walk very quietly or stand in a circle, and they're just mumbling amongst themselves. Or else they'll hire a couple of actors and say, we're the couple in the back there. I'll be the gal with the red hair and the checkered top. And so you do these, you create improvisationally these scenes, and you're just having a conversation with another actor. And then the editor takes that and brings the sound way, way down. So you never hear what they're actually saying. It's not to draw any attention, but it's to fill in to make that whole scene work.
I had fun in one of my loop groups where I'm dating myself here, in Total Recall with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, sure. Yes.
Yeah.
I was the little Martian girl that ran up to him and said, "What's your sign? I'm a Taurus." And so he gave his line. So I actually spoke back and forth with Arnold Schwarzenegger. So
nice.
That's
a good one.
So, I mean, and now here we are with the reboot of a beloved animation show, Rugrats. So, Cheryl, what was it like to step back into the character of Angelica? Did you just find her? Did she always kind of stay with you to a certain extent? I don't know how you feel about your characters.
Oh, yeah. I can just pull her out anytime. And she can say anything she wants to say. Angelica always gets the last word. You dumb baby!
And Nancy, I know that, you know, you said that Chucky was one of the most difficult voices to do. And I know that you also said that you didn't originate this voice. There was an actress by the name of Christine Cavanaugh who did the voice in the original for 8.5 years, retired. You stepped in and said this one was particularly difficult. Why is that?
Yeah. Well, when they created this character, he's complicated. Chucky's a little complicated. He's constantly in fear and in terror. He's afraid to do anything. He's got a bunch of allergies. And the way Chris created that voice, she used everything. You know, it's like the placement of the voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nancy, you're doing amazing, Chucky. Amazing.
Oh, thanks. I love him. Having Angelica there, if I were another character, I would want to be her. Because she is... She's delicious. And you're so kind about her. She is just the troublemaker of the group. And yet, I just want to hug her. I just want to...
You said that because I want to make sure that Angelica, even though she's mean and she's bad, that she is likable. That people still like her. So thanks, Nancy.
Yeah.
So, we have a couple great games for you. So in this one, you're going to team up. You're going to work together as a team.
Okay.
Jonathan Colton is going to sing you the clues in this game called Animal Songs.
That's right. We rewrote songs about animals to make them about fictional examples of these animals. And you will receive credit for doing any one of the following things. You can name the character I'm singing about, the song that I'm parodying, or the artist who made it famous.
Okay.
Here we go.
They're the flakes that are frosted. Selling them is my goal. Standing up on my hind legs like a human. All my stripes looking snazzy on the box near your bowl. Paid by Kellogg's to tell you they're great. It's a living.
Eye of the Tiger.
Eye of the Tiger is the song. That's right. Survivor. And you, who was I singing about?
Tony the Tiger.
Tony the Tiger. That's right. The Frosted Flakes spokes
cat.
Looks cat.
All points that were possible were awarded.
Solid. Solid work. Okay, here's another one.
Listen up, pigs, cause I'll wreck your digs. I'll huff and I'll puff, blow your house down. Here's my two cents, that red sure is dense. She thinks I am grandma in her gown.
It's the Three Little Pigs.
Three Little Pigs for sure.
Three Little Pigs, or yeah, Big Bad Wolf also?
Yes.
We would have accepted, yes. Do you recognize this song?
Hungry Like a Wolf.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Big Bad Wolf, we were looking for. And Hungry Like the Wolf is the song. That is correct. Duran Duran.
A Duran Duran classic.
Well
and,
done.
Yes.
And Big Bad Wolf.
All right, couple more of these.
I am hot pink. I've got shades on. You might think that I'm a pest. It's a battery I am selling with a bass drum on my chest. I keep going. They won't let me rest.
Isn't that Go Ask Alice?
That's exactly right. White Rabbit,
yes,
by Jefferson Airplane.
Ding, 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 ding. Winner, winner, winner. Chicken dinner.
Can you tell me the fictional animal that I was singing about? It's a bunny that sells batteries. Do you remember those commercials?
Oh, yeah.
And it says a bunny.
That's right. All right, this is the last one.
Though I stand 8'2", girl, I'm not scary, no, I'm sweet. I can't give you directions for how to get to Sesame Street.
You're talking about Big Bird.
I am talking yes. about Big Bird. That is correct.
I'm as free as a bird.
Yeah.
That's
is it
right.
Free Bird? Free Bird, I think.
Free Bird by Leonard Skinner. That's right. You got them all.
About Big Bird. Could there be a better match?
That's clever.
Could there be a better match? After the break, we'll play another game with Cheryl Chase and Nancy Cartwright from Rugrats, and musician Sarah Bareilles will tackle some trivia about her favorite show, The Golden Girls. So grab a slice of cheesecake, or in my case, a slice of cake with a slice of cheese on top. And stay tuned. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy. This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. It's easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself too thin. Therapy can provide the tools and self-awareness to help you learn how to recharge, define your boundaries, and build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp Online Therapy. Fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Visit BetterHelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. We're playing games with Cheryl Chase and Nancy Cartwright, who voice Angelica Pickles and Chucky Finster on Rugrats. Nancy also does the voice of Bart Simpson. Are you ready for another game?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Great. So we've established that you can work well together, but now we're going to see what happens when we make you compete.
Oh, boy. So
wait, are you saying that it's Chucky against Angelica?
Nancy and Cheryl, I want to just start this by horrifying every millennial in our audience when I say that it has been 30 years since the original Rugrats series premiered. So in this game, we are going to ask you questions about adult milestones as if they were toddler or baby milestones that you might read in a parenting book.
Okay.
So we're going to just go back and forth. Cheryl, this first one is for you. One important milestone in developmental achievement is when your child takes their first step toward the washing machine. It's important to let your child learn from their mistakes, like when they wash a silk blouse at home, when the tag is marked with an empty circle symbol, meaning what?
Oh, man. You can tell I don't use silk blouses.
But if you were to...
It's a pain in the neck when you clean them. You can't put them in the washing machine.
Oh, you put them in the dry cleaners.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Dry clean only.
Something
I do not buy myself. Because why? Why?
Yeah.
Febreze in a steamer. That's what I say.
That's right. Dry clean only means you wear it until it smells too bad to wear anymore and you throw it away.
That's right. Disposable. It's disposable clothing.
Disposable clothing. All right, here we go. This is for you, Nancy.
Okay.
It can be difficult to wean your 30-year-old off of cheap wine. But if they're really struggling to tell their whites from their reds, you may want to consult a wine expert known by this French term.
Oh, a sommelier?
Sommelier, that's right.
Very good, Nancy.
You guys get this. They actually have water sommeliers. There are so there are so many different kinds of waters. There's a restaurant in Hollywood that they serve something like 36 different kinds of water, and there's a water sommelier that comes to your table and
That is bananas.
Do you look at a menu and you're like, I'll have the 1972 French water?
Do they serve food at the restaurant or is it just water?
Just water?
No, just water only.
Oh my gosh.
Prefix.
No, it's both. Come on. Hit us with another one. Let's go. What else you got?
Cheryl.
Yes.
This one is for you. The sleepy 30s can be a difficult phase in any child's development. Fortunately, there are many different drink options to help maintain a healthy level of caffeination. One is the macchiato, made from what two ingredients?
The macchiato, made out of espresso and milk.
That's right. What? Yes.
Really? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how you like your coffee. How do you like your coffee?
With a little bit of cream. That's all.
That's it?
Yeah.
Yep. Yes. We were discussing this. How much milk is in a cappuccino versus a macchiato? I did not know.
You know, I used to be a barista, so I made a lot of coffee drinks. And yeah, cappuccino has a lot of foam. Macchiato,
that's right.
Just a little dollop of foam. All right, Nancy, this one is for you. It's the last question in this game.
Okay.
Healthy social development can help your child build self-esteem and practice language skills. Flirting with 10 different people can help them develop object permanence. As a bonus, they can develop digital dexterity by using this app that popularized swiping.
Tinder? I don't know.
Yeah, that is right. Tinder.
Oh, good guess.
Yeah.
Nancy, I feel like you're playing coy. You're on Tinder all the time, aren't you?
No.
Another great game. Well done.
Thanks.
Thank you both so much for playing along and being such wonderful guests. Nancy Cartwright and Cheryl Chase voice Chucky Finster and Angelica Pickles on The Rugrats on Paramount Plus. Nancy and Cheryl, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, guys. You can be amazing. You can turn a phrase into a weapon or a drug.
You can be the outcast to be the backlash of somebody's lack of love. We're not just playing Sarah Bareilles because it's the only thing in our engineer's playlist. It's because our next guest is Sarah Bareilles. She's the Grammy-winning artist behind the hits Brave and Love Song. She stars in the Peacock comedy Girls Five Eva, and her new album is called Amidst the Chaos, live from the Hollywood Bowl. Sarah, welcome to Ask Me Another.
Hi, I'm so excited to see you and hear you.
Thank you so much. How's it going? I like your backdrop, a tapestry.
Oh, that's hilarious because it's truly. I just moved into a new apartment in December, and now, you know, with everything is like you see so much of your home. And so I'm trying to just like manufacture something that looks remotely considered, but it's a mess.
Can I just point out that you and I have both made the decision to put a thing on a Wurlitzer in view of our camera?
I'm clearly indicating that I am a musician.
That's
so
right. That's what I'm going
don't
for
get it
well.
Twisted.
You know, Sarah, I was reading about you, and you sang the national anthem on opening day at Dodger Stadium when you were a mere 14 years old.
Yes, I
oh,
sure
my
did.
Goodness. How does someone get a gig like that as a teenager?
So my math teacher in eighth grade, Mr. Funkhauser, his brother somehow handled some of the bookings, the musical bookings for the Dodgers. And so they had me make a tape and send in a submission. So my family drove down to Los Angeles from Eureka, California, where I grew up. So it's like an 11-hour drive or something like that. And I did opening day at Dodger Stadium. And I was very dressed up. And somebody, as I walked to my seat, someone in the stands was like, "It's California, chick, you know, like, you can relax."
Oh, nice.
I'm like, "I live here, I promise. I thought this was important."
Now, I know you're 14, and obviously that was a big gig. That I'm sure that felt...
Oh, yeah. Really big deal. Really big deal.
Did you think about your approach to the national anthem? You know, like, if you were going to do any extra flourishes, how you were going to approach the last couple lines...
My dad was always pretty vocal about his disdain for people who would kind of, you know, make the national anthem too much their own.
Yeah.
So I think I took a pretty simplistic approach. I was very worried about forgetting the lyrics, which is something that continues to this day, even though, you know, how many times have we all sung that song? But I think I did a pretty straightforward, I might have done a, like a, "Hey," or something like that.
Sure.
So in 2015, you composed the music and lyrics for the Broadway musical Waitress, and that was based on a 2007 film starring Carrie Russell. Now, I have heard that you've described your life sort of in two categories, before Waitress and then after Waitress. What does that mean exactly?
It totally changed my sort of profile as an artist and as a creative. It opened doors for me. I ended up making a TV show with J.J. Abrams and a record with T-Bone Burnett and now a television show with Tina Fey. And all of these things have opened to me in a way that I don't know that they would have found me otherwise. But I had no idea, first of all, how much work it would be, because knowing me at the time, if I had known that I would work as hard and as long as I did on this show, I would have been like, no, I got other things to do. But I am so grateful that I did. It was working on something that was brand new and confusing and, unpredictable.
And you started it after a couple of years. When you were writing it, was that always kind of a plan that was percolating?
Not in so many words, but I think I didn't know how to write anything for anyone else's voice at that point.
Right.
I had only ever written the songs for myself to sing. So, I mean, even the men in the cast were like, "You do know where men."
It's a different
voices.
Range. We have to,
The duets
like,
were
like, work
all,
harder, work harder.
The duets were all up in the stratosphere. So I had a pretty steep learning curve in that sense. But I don't know. I don't think I had the confidence initially that I would be able to do it. And Jesse Mueller, who originated the role, was such a masterful storyteller that I really just got to watch and learn from. So then when I stepped in, I felt like, okay, I can play and find my version of this role. But I had I'd seen the show probably thousands of times at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we move on from musical theater, I just have to say one thing, which is that you and I both contributed a song to the SpongeBob musical. And your song was fantastic. Poor Pirates. I still remember it. Because they had me do a little bit of lyric punch-up on some of the other songs. And let me just say, there were a handful of songs that I was like, no one shall touch these songs. And yours was one of them, because it was just perfect out of the gate.
You're the best. Oh, thank you.
It was true. It was great.
It was so fun. That show was incredible.
It really was.
We went to opening night and I was just like, this is, holy cow.
Yeah,
awesome.
It was like a Broadway show in the middle of a circus or something.
Yeah,
it was really great.
So we all have our different things that get us in the mode to create or write. And when you're sitting down to write, do you have a songwriting habit? Anything you have to do to like set the stage?
You know what I'm learning? This just happened yesterday as I was working on a song. I think some of those things that I told myself are, you know, it has to be this way or it has to be, are just little tricks I've told myself that are really me resisting just sitting down and like doing the work where I'm like, it's not moody enough outside and I don't have a coffee yet or whatever it is. I do need to be alone. That's right. Kind of like the only must have.
No WeWork for you.
No, babe. No.
That is a terrible idea. Going to WeWork to write songs. That sounds
just
so,
great. I know.
With an acoustic
like
guitar.
It's a nightmare for everybody.
And you just happened to tell us that you love something that we love. So it's great. You told us that you love the classic TV sitcom Golden Girls.
Yes. Do you feel like I'm a fan?
Oh, my goodness. You have Golden Girls
rose.
Prayer candles. That's
I'm
impressive.
Holding, I have Sophia. Golden Girls prayer. And then,
you have them all.
I sure have them all. Although I've somehow. Oh, no. Dorothy's holding up my phone right now. So.
That's good. Thank you, Dorothy.
A place of honor.
That's right.
So here's how this game works. We're just going to give you a statement about the Golden Girls. And you're just going to tell us if you think it's true or false.
Okay.
True or false. The Golden Girls kitchen set has been preserved at the Smithsonian National Museum of American History. Is that true or false?
Oh, I don't think that's true.
You are correct. It is false. It is not true.
Not that it shouldn't be true.
No.
But yeah.
That iconic kitchen set was actually recycled from a previous short-lived sitcom called It Takes Two.
Who was in it? Do you know?
Patty Duke Aston, Helen Hunt, Anthony Edwards, Richard Corena, Billy Bird, Richard McKenzie, Randy Dreyfuss, and Della Reese were in It Takes Two.
That takes more than two.
All right, here's another one for you.
Okay.
Director Quentin Tarantino appeared on an episode of Golden Girls as an Elvis impersonator. True or false?
False.
That is actually true.
Shoot.
In fact, really? He credits the show with launching his career. He says he was able to live off residuals from that appearance while he was working to get Reservoir Dogs made.
Oh, my gosh.
See, I think people should know there would be no Reservoir Dogs if there wasn't Golden Girls.
That's right.
That's incredible.
We owe a lot to Golden Girls, for sure.
We do. A lot of violent movies we owe.
A lot of violent movies came out of Golden Girls. People don't know.
Estelle Getty, who played the oldest Golden Girl, of course, Sophia, got pregnant in between season one and season two. Is that true or false?
That seems false to me.
That does seem false. However, according to Betty White, who gives us the inside gossip, I don't know, but she did say that Estelle Getty got a facelift between season one and season two, which made things very hard for the makeup department.
I have to go back immediately today. In fact, I have to go because I have to watch. Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. So last year, The Golden Girls was ranked among Hulu's top 10 most watched shows. Is that true or false?
Oh, that feels very true to me, but I could be. Yeah. Yeah.
No,
true.
It's true.
True.
It's totally true. I mean, obviously, it's reaching a younger audience. There's a lot of us that watch it again because it. You're right. It feels good. It's feel good television for
sure. It's also very. It feels very contemporary. They talked about a lot of issues that were so, you know, progressive at the time, and it was wildly, like, radical to have older women be sexualized in any way. I mean, it just things.
I know, and not a like science fiction.
No.
So, yes, a Hulu spokesperson said it was categorized as comfort television, along with Law & Order SVU. which is also frequently in the top 10. So there
that
you go.
That is really, yeah. It says a lot about us, I think, as
Wait,
people,
really?
Doesn't it?
That's right. Either you're a Golden Girls person or a Law & Order SVU person.
Yeah.
Whatever helps you sleep.
Yeah, right.
All right, this is the last one. After Golden Girls ended, Betty White, Estelle Getty, and Rue McClanahan starred in a spinoff called The Golden Palace. In it, their characters buy and run a Miami hotel, and the show also starred Cheech Marin and Don Cheadle.
True.
Yeah, it is true. Have you seen the show?
I've seen, I think, not much of it. How many, did it even make a full season?
One season, yeah, that's
one
it.
It made one.
Yeah.
Yep, 24 episodes. So.
Oh, we undercut you, Golden Palace.
Yeah, sorry, Golden Palace.
I promise to watch.
Sarah, you did, I mean, like, again, no reason for you to know this level of Golden Girl trivia, but you did fantastic.
I just am such a fan of the show. What an awesome show this is.
Thank you so much.
It's a cupcake.
Thank you.
I love it.
Sarah Bareilles' latest album, Amidst the Chaos, live at the Hollywood Bowl, is available now, and you can catch her in the Peacock comedy series, Girls 5 Eva. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thanks, guys.
That's our show. Our house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Today's puzzles were written by our staff, along with Nick Garrison, Madeline Kaplan, and senior writer Karen Lurie, with additional material by Kara Weinberger. Ask Meet Others, produced by Nancy Seychow, James Sparber, and Ramel Wood, with Gianna Capodona and her intern, Zach St. Clair. Our senior producer is Travis Larchuk. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal, and our bosses are Steve Nelson and Anya Grundman. Thanks to our production partner, WNYC. I'm her ripe begonias,
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR. It's the end of the podcast, but it doesn't have to end here. Why not follow NPR Ask Me Another on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram? And you can give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find the show. Next time on Ask Me Another, from Better Call Saul and The Mandalorian, Giancarlo Esposito talks about meeting Baby Yoda. Then comic Bethany Van Delft and musician Don Will answer the question, is it broccoli? Plus, from Hacks, we play games with comedy couple Lucia Onyelo and Paul W. Downs. So join me on NPR's Ask Me Another, the answer to life's funnier questions.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Bombas. Bombas makes absurdly soft socks, underwear, and T-shirts. And for every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness. Get 20% off your first purchase at bombas.com/NPR and use code NPR. Support for NPR and the following message come from Rosetta Stone, the perfect app to achieve your language learning goals no matter how busy your schedule gets. It's designed to maximize study time with immersive 10-minute lessons and audio practice for your commute. Plus, tailor your learning plan for specific objectives like travel. Get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off and unlimited access to 25 language courses. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as the Black experience, you'll hear it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.